Let's turn in your Bibles to the seventh chapter of Proverbs in the Old Testament. And I'd like to take just a moment to address the people that are on the internet. There's a lot of people, hundreds of people join us every week on the internet. And I'm getting lots of emails from around the country, and we get them from around the world, actually. But there's a whole congregation that's right now looking at their laptops or their television screens right now. And we've heard of some congregations join with us. So as a shepherd and to have a pastor's heart, that's really a difficult thing to know that there might be a few hundred people sitting here that aren't sitting here and not be able to touch them as I would be able to help you. So we want to pray for them right now because a lot of them, this is their church. It's a virtual church. They're part of this. They send their tithes and offerings and they pray as you pray and they're praying for you right now. And so we want to say a special prayer for all of you that are viewing. So Father, all of us collectively, the hundreds of us in this auditorium, we join together with the multitudes that are watching on the internet. And even for some that may be downloading an MP3 player or iPod, that you would bless them as they're jogging and listening, or as they're sitting in an airport and watching, or they're in Iraq or Afghanistan or in some part of the world that they're so far away from San Diego. We pray for these families, these children, these marriages, these people, as if they were one with us in this room on this beautiful campus. And we thank you for the privilege to be able to minister to people that aren't with us and that we can send people out of here by the dozens and they're ministering, though they're not with us. So we count it a joy to be part of a living body of Christ and that you, Lord Jesus, love these people that are watching from their bedrooms and their offices and from their hospital beds and their hotels. May you honor them and bless them, as some of the people told us up north last week that the power of the Holy Spirit came out of our auditorium into their home. And they were blessed and just praising you as much as we were. So honor them and honor your word, Lord. Speak to us and give us wisdom through the Proverbs in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I'm going to have you back up. Proverbs chapter 5. My son, attend unto my wisdom and bow your ear to my understanding, that you may regard discretion and that your lips may know knowledge. For the lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But her end is bitter as wormwood. Bitter as wormwood. You may want to underline that. Sharp as a two-edged sword, the promiscuous woman. Her feet actually go down to hell. Her steps take hold on hell, lest you should ponder the path of life. Her ways are movable that you cannot know them. So a seductress, Solomon warning his son. I'd like to point out a couple of things that he says here. First of all, he says, pay attention. So attend unto my wisdom. Pay attention. The second thing he says, listen up. I remember when I was 18 years old and I was in the army at Fort Ord, they'd always say, listen up, soldiers. And that's when I'd fall asleep because I figured they had something they wanted to teach me and I didn't want to learn it. But listen up and pay attention. Two things you and I need to do about wisdom. And wisdom is going to bless you as I promised you. It's going to fulfill your life. It's going to be a light to your feet and light up the path that you're on. And here he even mentions that you'll ponder the path of life because of wisdom. So number one, listen up, pay attention to his wisdom, give an ear to understanding, and the reason being, verse 2, that you may regard discretion. Some people are just not discreet. When you're in a position of leadership, you have to be discreet. You have to be very careful of things you say because people will hear what they want to hear and then rumors spread. And it's not even what you said. So you have to zip your lips. And then it says the reason that you're going to pay attention and you're going to give an ear to understanding is so that you can regard discretion, you can start being a discreet man or a discreet woman, and that your lips may keep knowledge. So now you're not going to be a backbiter or a murmur or a person that stabs other people in the back because you've got knowledge. Your lips are going to keep knowledge and hold it in your heart. And now he's telling his son, watch out for the promiscuous woman, the strange woman, who's going to try to seduce you. Her lips drop as honeycomb with all of her Maybelline makeup and she's got all the look that seduces you. Her mouth is smoother than oil. And she fixes her lips and shoots them up with Botox or whatever. So watch out for those honeycomb lips. They'll sting you like a bee. But her end is bitter. The end of her life is going to be bitter for a woman that's promiscuous and that's sexually involved and is not discreet about sex. I wanted to point to you about wormwood. It comes up in the Old Testament a few times, but not really very clearly as the word, but it tells you what it is, and it's like hemlock. And hemlock is what Socrates drank from the cup of hemlock that when he committed suicide. And I wanted to show you something in the 8th chapter of the book of Revelation. If you turn to the very last book in the Bible, that hemlock, wormwood, is going to be a part of a judgment on planet Earth. And I know that you've seen Independence Day over the years and different movies that talk about asteroids and meteorites coming and hitting the Earth. And we had one last summer that they say passed very close to us, about 65,000 miles away from planet Earth, and it could have wiped us out. Now you say, well, that's a long ways away, but stop and think. The moon is 243,000 miles away from us. So 65,000 miles is really nothing had it just been headed a few degrees the other direction. And that could have made us possibly extinct for a few hundred years if that thing had hit us. But look what it says about this. He opened, in verse 1, Revelation chapter 8, he opened the seventh seal, and there's a scroll with seven seals, and they are filled with judgment. When the seventh seal opened up, there was silence in heaven for about a half hour. Now, I'd have to agree with others that this is not a verse to say that there are no women in heaven. There's silence for a half hour. That's not true. That isn't what it means. And I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. So there's seven angels. They got seven trumpets. And then another angel, having a golden censer, came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints of the golden altar, which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense, with the prayers of the saints, ascended before God from the angel's hand. And then the angel took the censer, he filled it with fire from the altar, and threw it down on the earth. And there were noises, and thunderings, and lightnings, and an earthquake. There's a lot of weird things going on, and you can begin to imagine when God says, okay, I'm going to rapture my people, I'm going to take my people off this planet, I'm going to remove them, and now he who hinders is no longer hindering, the Holy Spirit is out of the way, and now all hell's going to break loose. And one of the things that God is gracious about is his weather patterns, and now you can see that they're being moved around a little bit. And that's what we see here, that these earthquakes and fires and thunders and lightnings and noises. So the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. The first angel sounded, and look what happened. Hail and fire followed, mingled with blood, and they were thrown to the earth, and a third of the trees were burned up, and all of the green grass was burned up. So imagine, just in your neighborhood, a third of all the trees are disappearing, but then extrapolate that to every neighborhood in your city, and then in your county, and then in your state, and then all the states, and then down to South America, to every city and town and hillside and mountain, and going to the Amazon, wipe out all the Amazon forest, go all over to every one of the continents, and a third of all the trees gone, and imagine what the smog and the humidity is going to be like, and the poison toxins are going to be in the air with all that green gone, and all the grass is dead. So the oxygen is just going to start suffocating. Because of the lack of it, people are going to start suffocating. That's just one judgment from one seal. Then, we are told in verse 8, the second angel sounded, and something like a great mountain. It's not a great mountain, but your mind is very fertile. You can understand what he's saying. It's a picture. Something like a great mountain, burning with fire, was thrown into the sea. And a third of the sea became blood. Now imagine that. Something so huge, and you take the seven great seas of the world, and one third of them are wiped out and become like blood. Imagine if this thing, whatever it is on fire, like a large mountain, comes from outer space and impacts the Pacific Ocean, we'll say. And then that ripples across around and makes its way into the Gulf and over to the Atlantic or however, wherever it hits. But just imagine here that we would see everything in San Diego Bay and Mission Bay dead. And all the creatures, the sharks and the jellyfish, everything would be floating to the top, and the stench that would be there. It would ruin your surfing, I'm sure. Verse 9, ruin it completely. A third of the living creatures in the sea died. A third. And then a third of the sea is full of blood. And a third of the ships were destroyed. Now, I remember back in the 70s going back and forth to Asia quite a bit. And I was always impressed with the skyline of Singapore. And really loved Singapore. Led a lot of people to the Lord in Singapore. But I was always impressed at any given day at that time, and it's larger now, I'm sure, over 200 major ships from around the world anchored in the port at Singapore to pick up the goods from Singapore and to drop off goods in Singapore. Now imagine that a third of the ships in the oceans are destroyed by one tragic event that nobody can even understand. But he tries to tell us, he said it was like a great mountain. So a meteorite, an asteroid hitting our planet and doing such damage. Now what would destroy a third of the ships if they're not all in the same area? And let's say there's 10,000 ships sailing the sea right now. Tsunamis. That would definitely destroy 300-foot, 400-foot, 600-foot oilers and tankers and ships. A third of them destroyed. The tsunamis are going to be washing back and forth all over the basins. We see them as great oceans, but if you look at a map, they're nothing more than basins holding water that makes up that sea, and it's going to slush back and forth. I mean, it's going to be pretty devastating. When you stop and think of this one great mountain hitting the ocean. Then the third angel, verse 9, sounded, and a great star fell from heaven, burning like a torch. And it fell on a third of the rivers and on the springs of water. So now the salt water is destroyed. And now a third of all the great rivers, the ones that we know are the Euphrates, the Nile, the Tigris. We can go to the Middle East, or you could go to the Thames, or you could go to the great Columbia River, the Mississippi River, the Missouri River, Amazon River, all around the world. A third of the fresh water is going to be destroyed. A third of the salt water is going to be destroyed. And a third of the springs, which are the sources of fresh water, are going to be destroyed. So now, mankind is not going to be able to breathe very well. The sky is going to be very dark and gloomy. The humidity globally is going to be so much that your breath is going to be taken away from you. Then you're going to turn on your water faucet. Yuck. You're not going to want to drink what comes out of it. And it's going to be a rough time for people. These are the people that just reject God. They don't want God, so God says, okay, I'll back away. This is what happens when I, the Creator, am told to get out. And you don't want to do that. This is what will happen to your life if you tell God to get out of it. But you invite God into your life, then the power of the Holy Ghost will bless you. So the name of the star, so John was able to get a name from the angel, is Wormwood. And this is what we're looking at in Proverbs here. So wisdom can come to us from wormwood, understanding. A third of the waters became wormwood, and many men died from the water because it was made bitter. And the only difference of you being a better person or a bitter person is the letter I. It's the only difference between bitter and better. So a third of the waters become poisonous. And in the fifth chapter of Proverbs, God is saying that a promiscuous woman is like wormwood. She is poisonous. A promiscuous woman that is having sex outside of marriage, trying to seduce other people, will put poison into your life. And though she has all the makeup on to make her look seductive, and all the gloss, and all the lipstick, and all the eyelashes, and everything to seduce a man, her ways lead to hell, and her feet have a hold on hell because the demons are pulling her down. And probably the demons that possess her body to be filled with so much lust is poison her so much that she will seduce anybody just to get pleasure. But in the end, in verse 4, it says that this woman, she is bitter as wormwood. Sharp as a two-edged sword, her feet go down to death, her steps lay hold of hell. Unless you ponder her path of life, her ways are very unstable, and you do not know them. I'd like to lift up this thought to you. You ready? There are more born-again, spirit-filled 15 to 24-year-olds in Orange County than anywhere else in the United States of America. And they know how to possess their vessels and how to say no to lust. And they are under the leading of the Holy Ghost. I know that because some of the largest churches in the country have all come out of Calvary Chapel. I mean, there's so many, they have 10,000 members in them. And you go to a Harvest Crusade with Greg Laurie and you see 30, 40, 50, 60, 100,000 people, 15 to 24-year-olds, because they know the Word of God. So we have a lot of work to do in this room here to reach these 15 to 24-year-olds and to help stop this problem. And the mindset of the older people, the social engineers that are in our county telling the young men and women, it's okay to do this. It's not okay to do this. It's wormwood. It's bitterness. Its foothold is in hell. And it's going to take their lives down, and we need to call upon the Lord to stop it. So it's not a good thing to be promiscuous, he says to his son in verses 1 through 6. And then verse 7, it's a shift in his thought. Therefore, hear me now, my children. So here's the father speaking to the kids. Listen to me now. Do not depart from the words of my mouth. Listen to the words of my mouth. Remove your way far from this type of a woman. Do not go near the door of her house, lest you give your honor to others. So what is he saying? For you to give your body to somebody other than the person you're married to is losing your honor. I couldn't believe it. The other day I was driving down to somewhere. I went by on Rosecrans, and that place has been there ever since I've been here since 74. Nude dancers, and I saw this couple of military guys walking out, and I thought, what are they thinking? Why would you go into a place like that? You'd have to be totally debased, and your mind would have to be possessed, that the lust is so strong that you would actually pay some exorbitant price for a glass of water to go in there and watch some naked lady dance. I mean, that shows there's a problem here. That we as a church cannot get a permit to build a facility, but if we were a smut house, we could get a permit to put it anywhere in a commercial zone. But because we carry a black Bible into an auditorium or want to build somewhere, they say no. Isn't that strange? It's only because of this book that the churches of San Diego are controlled of where they can be. And now they've legislated out very few places that we can be, and it's going to take a battle with constitutional lawyers to go against our city to get them to change what they passed, a 600-page document, including that churches could not be in certain areas anymore. Huh. I don't know. I'm getting older, I guess, maybe grumpier, but I just think we need to pull this book out and stand by the morals and the ethics of it and stand up against the wicked one and just say, hey, we need to stand for righteousness. So hear me, O children, and don't depart from these words of my mouth. Remove your way a long ways away from your boyfriends you're sleeping with and your girlfriends you're sleeping with and living with. Get out of this smut and this filthy thing that is giving your honor up. That's what he says. Lest you give your honor unto others and your years unto the cruel. There is a price to pay. Every major research from every major university in America basically says that if you live together before you get married, you are going to get divorced. I'm sorry, that's what it says. And just because they changed the laws and the mores of our society and said you can live with your girlfriend or you can live with your boyfriend and not get married does not mean that it's right. I'm sorry, it doesn't mean that. There is a standard. And that standard has been set by God. And we will not lower our standards if we know the Word of God. But when you move the Word of God out of place, then man's standards come and man keeps lowering the bar because people just can't jump over that bar. So they're making it easier for them. So lest strangers be filled with your wealth, otherwise your morals are going to go down. And if you can give your honor up by being sexually promiscuous, then other people will see that you're weak and not to be trusted. And they will see that they can bilk you for about everything. Not only steal your wealth, but your labors be in the house of a stranger, that you will be in bondage to organized crime, and to perverts. I remember when I was a young Christian, before Sandy and I got married the second time, I got a job from one of my pastor's board members that owned or was president of a burglar alarm system company. And he asked, he said, hey, I want to see Chuck. I said, well, Sandy and I are getting remarried. You're going to do the wedding. I need to get a job. And so he said, call this friend of mine. He called me, gave me a job. So my job was to get all the police reports from Los Angeles and go to these places that were burglarized and try to scare the heck out of them. and say, you know, there's a lot of burglaries going in your neighborhood and you need an alarm system, so I'd sell alarms. And one of them was a company that we had an alarm system in, and it was a porno manufacturer in Hollywood. And I'd never been in a place like that, and I couldn't imagine why men would go in a place like that. And the guy had, in the back room, these people putting all these ugly things together, mailing them out, while the front of the building was all gutted with fire. And they were assuming that it was, from what they saw, some arson, but we had to rewire the whole facility and put the alarms in. So I'd never seen any of this junk before, and I walked into the back, and it was disgusting. I went out, and the owner, what was I then? I must have been 26 years old, 27 years old. The owner was about 30, 35, something like that. And he was a big, overweight, out-of-shape guy, and I was a small, in-shape, young guy. And I just was disgusted with him. And I said, come here, I need to talk to you. He said, what are you selling here? Don't you know this is junk? Yeah, but we make a lot of money. I says, does your mother know what you're doing? And he hung his head down. I said, you need to repent of your sins right now in the name of Jesus Christ. And he said, well, I don't know about any of that. And I said, I do. And I pulled out a little Bible and gave it to him. I said, you need to read this and get out of here. Let's pray right now and ask God to smite the smut business in San Diego, all right? God, we join hands right now in this auditorium. And you said if two or three people would join hands together and pray in the name of Jesus Christ, it would be given to us by our Father in heaven. We pray, God, in Jesus Christ's name, that you would make these companies go bankrupt. And even if they're money laundering schemes and they're not selling very much, we're asking that you'll shut them down. You'll just drive them out. You'll send hornets and bees inside the stores to sting all the sick perverts that go in there, Lord, and get them help. But we pray for the men and women that are making money off of the lust and the bitterness of people's souls, that you'll rebuke them tonight in their mansions, wherever they are, in La Jolla or Rancho Santa Fe. You'll just move through our county, convict these people in their sleep, and don't let them sleep another night until you start moving here, Lord, and releasing people from the bondage of pornography in San Diego. We pray in Jesus Christ's name that you'll set these people free. And you said, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. So the reason you don't want to be promiscuous is that strangers will be filled with your wealth. You won't be paying attention. Your labors will be in the house of a stranger. And then you mourn at last when your flesh and your body are consumed. You know, they even have advertisements at prime time on television talking about, well, you know, I've got this, but she doesn't, because we take, as if, instead of saying, well, you stupid idiot, why don't you abstain and then not even take a pill, and this poor woman, your girlfriend, doesn't have to worry about it. I mean, it just doesn't make sense, does it? I mean, it's like they're playing with a half of a brain or something. It just doesn't make sense that instead of saying abstain and be pure and holy, they're saying, keep on going for it, take a pill now and then, and it won't bother you for a couple days, and just go on for it some more. And no, the devil has a hold of the mindset of our country. And only renewal inside the church by us getting out of the sewer that those people are drinking and swimming in will the church wake up and be the chaste bride of Christ and be pure and holy, that her light will shine, that all men could see her good deeds and give glory to God. It starts with you. It starts with me. It doesn't start with somebody that's not here. It starts with us, that we want God's power. We want God's love. We want God's forgiveness. We want God's holiness. We want God's purity. We want to stand for righteousness, because we'll fall for everything else if we don't. So he says, don't give your honor to anybody. Don't give your wealth to strangers. Don't be working the rest of your life for nobody that cares nothing for you at all. And then at the end of your life, your flesh and your body are consumed because of some stupid, lustful thing that you couldn't give up. And I say, how have I hated instruction? Unless you get to this place that you put the Bible down and you say, oh, I hated instruction. Why didn't I listen when I was younger? I hated instruction and my heart despised reproof. You know, I got an email from somebody that was actually, I think, in Missouri. And a lady in Montana heard the radio broadcast and wrote the station in Missouri and says, we don't even have a radio translator up here. I have no idea how your broadcast from San Diego got into the mountains of Montana. But I came to know Jesus Christ in 1975 on Linda Vista Road when Horizon first started. And to hear you know, what's going on is just amazing. Now, only God could be doing stuff like that. And he wants to do more stuff like that. We're the only ones that are hindering him. He's going to work without us. That's for sure he can. But what an honor to be a part of what he is doing. And just, you can sit here and get the blessings from all over the country by just being involved in what God is doing. So why come to the end of your life and say, oh, I wish I would have listened? Sort of like a person, you're with them and they're dying. And they have a problem because they smoked all their life. And they say, I wish I would have listened. Or a person that's alcoholic and they surrender to the Lord a year before they die. And they say, wish I would have listened. You don't want to get to the end of your life and say, I wish I would have listened. Thank God that he'll go to the end of our life with us and give us a reprieve right up to the end. I thank the Lord for that. I've been at deathbeds where people have prayed just before they died and they've accepted the Lord and he's forgiven them. Minutes or hours. I've seen that happen for over 30 years. God is good to forgive us, but why not take the years you have now, lay him on his altar tonight and say, all I have is yours, take me, Lord, and use me for your honor and glory. That's what the dad's saying to the kids here. Listen up, pay attention to the words he says. So, I don't want to be there, he said, and say, how have I hated instruction and my heart despised reproof and have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined my ear to them that instructed me. Now look at this one. I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation and assembly. Wow, that's scary to think of that. Almost in all evil. Listen carefully to wisdom, he says. Heed her call to be chaste and to be a pure person. Wisdom is warning people to take care of their bodies, to take care of their soul, take care of their spirit. Let your mind have good thoughts in it. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians in the New Testament, the 6th chapter, the 15th verse. 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, the 15th verse. 6th chapter, 15th verse. Follow along with me if you would, please. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a whore or a harlot? Certainly not. Or do you know that he who is joined or having sex with a harlot is one body with her? Now that's disgusting. So if you're not married and you're having sex with people, you're joining your body with that person, you have just become one. And there's only one group of people in the world that God has ordained that could be one, and that's a man and a woman to be husband and wife, with the purpose to recreate and replenish the earth and to subdue it. That's it. But here it says, do you not know that you are becoming one with another person that is not related to you, that you're not one with when you do such things? Do you not know this? Certainly not. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two, he says, shall become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. So we're married to the Lord. Our spirit is one with his. So what does he say? Flee sexual immorality. Flee it. Run from it. Get away from it. Get away from it. Any kind. No touchy-feely, nothing. Run from it, it means. Make all haste like a track star. Get your cleats on and go like the wind. And run to safety. Get away from it. Flee sexual immorality. Why? Every sin that a man does is outside the body. But he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Oh, I'm just loving my boyfriend or girlfriend, whoever it is this month. You are destroying your own body and you are damaging your mind. And you are quenching the Holy Spirit, and you have impurity like wormwood that's ultimately going to kill you, and those pictures in your mind are going to replace any hope of you having good thoughts in the Holy Scriptures that will purify your mind and give you eternal life. Flee it. Get away from it. It's dangerous. It'll kill you. Look what he says here. Flee sexual immorality, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? Would you read that out loud with me? You are not your own. Okay, now I'll make it first person. I am not my own. I am not my own. That's right. Your body belongs to Jesus Christ if you are a person that claims to be a Christian. There's no way around it. You're stuck. You're trapped. You're convicted. You're right in front of his throne right now, the flashlight of heaven showing down on you with the filthiness of your sin. But his goodness brings man to repentance. He loves you and he forgives you and he knows that you're made of nothing but dust. But there's no reason to go another moment living this kind of a life. He says, you are not your own, for you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God. So he tells us that your body is the temple of God. And by you linking up with other people, you are not glorifying God in your body or in your spirit. And the Bible says, as a warning, quench not the Holy Spirit of God. So, if you are doing anything outside of marriage, anything outside of marriage, you are quenching the Holy Spirit and you will come under judgment. It's that simple. And the body was given to you to house your spirit and your soul. And can you not see the insidiousness of the devil to say, it's not male and female made he. No, it's my lust for another man and her lust for another woman. That's what it is. And we're just a minority. No, come on. The devil has his claws and his blasphemous breath breathing out through our politicians and through the community at large, taking them with a foothold to hell. You and I need to be purer than anybody else, and we need to be praying and interceding for these people that are going to stand before the judgment of God, and they don't even know it. You understand? You and I have a tremendous responsibility to be broken over the fact that four judges could pass a law that vetoed everything that the state of California, we the people, are the government, by the people and for the people. And it says in Ruth chapter 1, verse 1, in the days that judges did rule. And you back up the last chapter of Judges, the last verse, in the days that the judges ruled, everyone was doing what was right in his own eyes. Judges ruling instead of spiritual leaders means judgment on the nation. And four people made a decision that your vote does not count. We're in big trouble. And it's a spiritual issue, not a political issue. If my people, they're called by my name, but have you cried out to the throne of God, or do you even give a hoot? But these people, for eternity, for a few moments, a few months, or a few years of lust, are going to be in torment, in outer darkness, where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth and wailing. And where Jesus said three times, the worm dies not. Remember Lot's wife, he said. And Lot's wife couldn't give up the flesh. And she turned around and she looked. And when that blast hit Sodom and Gomorrah, she is frozen into a pillar of salt. Don't turn around and look at the world if you've given your heart to Jesus. Break free, put the sneakers on in the spirit, and flee youthful lust and all sexual immorality. You'll save your life and you'll save your friend's life. And then finally, in the 14th chapter, or 14th verse, I'd like you to see what Dr. J. Vernon McGee had to say about this verse. Remember, he said that God is not mocked from his radio broadcast and his Bible commentaries through the Bible. Remember that God is not mocked. What you sow is what you shall reap. God describes here what will be the end result of such a life. I believe that our society is already reaping what it has been sowing. The gross immorality in our land stems from the lack of instruction in the Word of God. And he couldn't say anything better because Galatians chapter 5, of course, chapter 6, verse 7 and 8 says, be not deceived, for God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he reap. If he sows to the flesh, he will reap of the flesh. But if he sows to the Spirit, he shall reap life everlasting. Solomon couldn't put it any better, could he? So in the 15th verse, he says, drink from your own cisterns, drink from your own wells. Don't go somewhere else. Running water from your own well. Should your fountains be dispersed abroad? Talking of you sexually. Streams of water in the streets. Let them be only your own and not strangers with you. Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of your youth. As a loving deer and a graceful doe, Let her breast satisfy you at all times and always be enraptured with her love. For why should you, my son, be enraptured by an immoral woman and be embraced in the arms of a seductress? I love that. Dwell with the wife of your youth. Sandy and I were 22 when we got married. And we were young, yeah. And she was nuts. She married me. But it's been a great life. Dwell with the wife of your youth. And notice something here in closing, his words that he chose. Look what he chose. I've used this, drink water from your own cistern, running water from your own well. Should your fountains be dispersed, streams of water and street, let them only be your own, not strangers with you. I've applied that in the ministry. It seems like whenever anybody outside the ministry comes to do something, it's just something from the outside. But the heart is so important that it raises up and serves. And it's a heart that loves you more than anything. And that's the wonderful thing about those of you that are home fellowship leaders and you work in the Sunday school, you do so much. It's your heart. You all have the same heart. You're a special group of people. And you don't need outsiders to come in and the people that write me letters, hey, for $10,000 we'll come and speak to your church and how to raise money for your remodeling project. Hey, for $5,000 we'll come and tell you the latest thing on da-da-do-da-do. And we don't need it. We got the Lord, and we got the Word of God, and we got praise and worship, and it's simple. It's not an organization. It's the Lord. We just happen to get together and love each other. That's kind of cool, isn't it? I think that's cool. Yeah. All right. So why, he says here, very carefully with his words in these verses, for the ways of man, verse 21, look at that, are before the eyes of the Lord, and he ponders his entire goings. Look at that. Soak it in, would you please? For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord. Everything you're doing and thinking, every telephone conversation, every attitude coming across an email or, you know, just anything. Just his eyes are watching us. What our motives are, what the depth of our heart is all about. His own iniquities shall take the wicked himself. They're going to take us down. And look at this. He shall be held with the cords of his own sin. Ooh, that's spooky. So our sins are like a spider shooting a web out there. Boop, and it got us. Ugh. The lust of our eyes, the pride of our life, the lust of the flesh. Verse 15 and 17, you can apply it to your business, your family, and your home. You can apply it to your marriage. In verse 21, he tells us, there are no secrets. So if you think you're hiding a secret, you're not. Look what he said in Deuteronomy 29, the very beginning, the formation of the church, which was in the wilderness, the Jewish people. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God. But those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that they may do all the words of his law. That's cool. There are some things we don't understand. David said, I do not exercise myself in matters too high. I had a guy ask me the other day, what do you think about aliens? What do you think about UFOs? What do you think about outer space? What do you think about? And I said, well, I quit thinking about those things. Why? They're out there. I said, well, no, they're here. They've landed. They're here in our town. You can see them. They said, they're not out there anymore. I'm sorry, they're with us. And you might be one of them, buddy. And I said, no, sir, listen. David said, I do not exercise myself in matters above me. And when I was a young Christian, I thought in about 1971, when I was reading that, I said, hold it. David's the richest guy in the Middle East. He's the most powerful warrior. He's a great politician. He has great influence in the whole world. He's a man that knows God. He's taken on huge battles for the Lord. What would be above him? And I began to learn, and over the years I've learned the hard way. There is stuff going on above us that no matter who you are, you keep below, and you just serve the Lord. So the secret things, as that verse says, Deuteronomy 29:29, and maybe you can write that down and then put it back up on the screen. The secret things belong to the Lord, our God. But those things, what you know right now, that have been revealed by the Holy Spirit, they belong to you. And then you pass them on to your children and their children that we may do all the words of his law. And then Psalm 25, David said it. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. And this is being fulfilled. You are sitting with other people. God's opening up and giving to you his covenant, his word, his law, his scriptures, and he's revealing things to you. I'm not, he is. So this is a fulfillment, the secret of the Lord. That he's here with us is with them that fear him. Then I always like what he had to say in the Psalm 90, verse 8. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, so God has my sins before him, our secret sins in the light of your countenance. Aha! Secret sins. You and I all have secret sins, and they're right in front of him right now. And he sees them, and he's convicting us of them. So let us bow our hearts and pray right now, could we? Father God, all of us come together collectively and present to you our sins. We beg your forgiveness on our sins, Lord. And we give you even the secret sins, the deepest recesses of our heart, where we've tucked away those sins that other people would never know about. And we pray that you'd wash and cleanse us from those secret sins in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So let's look at Proverbs 5:21 before we worship here. And I'd like you to memorize this verse. Would you circle it? I want you to memorize this one. It'll keep you out of dark bars and dusty places. All right? Say it out loud first with me. For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he ponders all of his goings. So he's watching where you're going. One more time. For the eyes of man, the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he ponders all his goings. Ready? One more time. For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he ponders all his paths. See, I tricked you. You went to going, some of you. Okay, God is watching us, and he's pondering which way we're going and the choices we're making. Our secret sins are in front of him, his countenance. He can look at us. We can't hide from him, ladies and gentlemen. If you want a revival and renewal, just, hi, Lord, here I am. And let him just refresh you. In Psalms 91, verse 1, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. His wings are spread out over this campus. You have come to a place that is owned by him. It's managed by him. It's directed by him. And we've all come under his wing. And he's shielded us from the outside world for the last hour. And his blessings have been poured out to you. From a good man, as we saw on Sunday morning, he reaches into his good treasure and brings out good things. To the evil man, he reaches into his heart and of evil treasure and brings out evil things. God has reached into his treasury, and he has brought out an abundance from his abundance and given it to you. Simple things. Take heed. Pay attention. Listen to my wisdom and understanding. Do not leave my word. Watch out for the immorality of the seductress person that is in your life or around you that's luring you. Don't be taken by what she's wearing or what he's wearing or how big his biceps are or pectoral muscles or how skinny her waist is or what. Keep your eyes off of those things and keep your heart open before God and let wisdom be the main thing for you to get. And in getting that wisdom, get the understanding of how to give that wisdom out to other people. And remember, the secret of the Lord is with him that fears the Lord. And God's watching all of his paths. God's watching us. And so we want to say no to more things than we ever did before because he's watching us watch that. And there's no getting around it. Father God, I thank you for these dear people that you are ministering to right now. And I'd pray in Jesus Christ's name as we stand before you and lift up holy hands without doubting that your Holy Ghost would fall upon us and baptize us in the power of the Holy Spirit, overflowing us that we could worship and praise you. And for those that are trapped in sin, we would ask that the cleansing power, the blood of Jesus Christ, would begin to scour their souls and their minds and take the roots of lust out of their hearts that they could be delivered. If they're a sex addict or they're having an affair or they're adulterers or adulteresses, if they're being seduced by the TV or the satellite dish or by magazines or something external, we're praying that you'll just make that disgusting to them, that they realize they're linking Jesus Christ with a harlot and that they can only be one with you in the Spirit and not to another lifestyle. So forgive and pour out your goodness and your grace. In the name of Jesus Christ, we all pray saying, amen. Let it be.